This week's lesson is going to be on the law of sin and death. It's a two-part lesson. We're going to be covering a lot of scriptures throughout this teaching. So, let's start off with, what is sin? Sin is the act of being disobedient and breaking any of God's commandments. The law of sin and death first came into being when Lucifer, the angel of the morning, the covering cherub, became full of pride and rallied up one-third of God's angels to overthrow God. This was the beginning of sin and disobedience. Satan, not knowing that there is no counsel under heaven or earth that God does not know about. In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 30, it reads, "There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord." This rebellion against God brought forth death, in which case these angels will be forever burned alive in the lake of fire after the second coming of Jesus Christ and upon completion of the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ upon earth. To hear this story for yourselves, we'll begin in Isaiah chapter 14 and verses 12 through 17. And it reads, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the houses of his prisoners?" Here we see that Satan will be brought down to hell, and that all who see him will say, "Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, and destroyed the cities, and kept them prisoners?" In Ezekiel chapter 28, and verses 11 through 19, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." Tabret, a small tabor, which is a small drum formerly used to accompany oneself on a pipe or a fife, which is a high-pitched transverse flute. Continuing in verse 14, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Now we have learned that he was perfect, until iniquity was found in him." At 16, "By the multitude of thy merchandise thou hast filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." Now we have just saw an example of the law of sin and death. God said, "Thou hast sinned, and I will destroy thee. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by thy iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more." Wow! Do you hear the pronouncement that God has made upon Satan? "As all them upon the earth behold Satan, God will bring forth the fire from the midst of him, and will bring him to ashes upon the earth." Listen to how it's stated in Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now that we understand the story of Satan and the introduction of the law of sin and death, let's continue with Adam and Eve in the garden and how the law of sin and death passed on to all of mankind. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Here again we see the penalty of sin is death. God said that the day that he ate thereof thou shalt surely die. You may be questioning, why did God put the tree in the garden anyway? The reason is God wants someone to love and obey him by their own free will. This is called choice. This was the first and the only commandment that God gave to Adam and Eve. God gave them a warning, saying that in the day and the hour that you should eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that you will surely die. Now enters the deceiver Satan as a serpent into the garden. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So here we see that Satan told Eve that God had lied to her, that as she ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that she herself will become as a god, knowing good and evil. Thus he implied to Eve that God did not want her to be as wise as he was. In verse 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." This was the beginning of the law of sin and death for mankind. At that very moment of their iniquity, just as Lucifer, they ceased to be perfect. Thus a spiritual death had taken place due to their sin. At verse 8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." Here we see that Adam tells God that he was afraid because he was naked. This means that Adam and Eve were experiencing shame because of embarrassment of their nakedness. The word embarrassed means to cause to feel awkward, self-conscious, or ashamed. The word shame means a feeling of humiliation or anxiety caused by awareness of wrong or foolish behavior. In verse 11, "And he," God, "said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman who thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now the Lord pronounces judgment upon the serpent, the woman, and the man for the sins that they had committed." In verse 14, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all of the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This judgment that was placed upon Satan was a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ, which is very important to understand. We will discuss it more later in this lesson. Then in verse 16, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Due to the generation that we live in today, it is important for us to stop and talk about one of several punishments that went upon the woman, that being, she would be under subjection to her husband. This is very important to hear in this day and age. If you are not under subjection to your husband, then you are in direct defiance of God, which is the act of rebelling against God. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23, it tells us, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as an iniquity and idolatry." It was not man that pronounced this judgment, but it was God who pronounced this judgment. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3 it reads, "But I, Paul, would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." This is very important to understand. Not only is the head of woman man, meaning that the wives should be under subjection to their husbands, but also that the head of man is Christ. That means that the man answers for his household and for the actions of his wife to Christ. So we see that God created a hierarchy of governance that we as humans should be following. This was all because of sin that God pronounced these judgments. We are in a wicked and an adulterous generation. The Bible plainly tells us that in the last days it would be as in the days of Noah and of Sodom and Gomorrah. Continuing back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." Continuing at verse 22, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand to take also of the tree of life and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." The law of sin and death has now cost Adam and Eve their stay in the Garden of God. They spiritually died and lost their relationship of perfection with God, and they now have a pronouncement of a physical death that they will go back into the dust of the ground upon their natural death, of which they would have never had if they had not eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. At this time, I'd like to call your attention to verse 21. "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." This is very important. Adam and Eve already had sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons as clothes. Yet they hid themselves from God due to embarrassment and shame. God also knew that this was not enough clothing for man, so he made them coats of skins to clothe them more adequately. This also makes very clear that a bikini or a bathing suit is not enough clothing material to cover your nakedness. This brings us to the first offering that was presented unto the Lord God. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. It is important to recognize that God was not upset with Cain. He said to him, why are you upset? If you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not well, then sin lies at the door. In verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. What an unfortunate thing that happened that day. Most likely this occurred because Cain became jealous of Abel because God accepted his offering. Even though God told him, if you do the same, I will accept you too. All Cain had to do when he offered another sacrifice to God was to offer a blood sacrifice. Instead, he chose to kill his brother, and God had just told him, if thou doest not well, this sin lies at the door, in which case Cain chose sin. Now, in the days of Noah, the sin of mankind was so great that God destroyed everyone but Noah and his family upon the face of the whole earth. In Genesis chapter 6 and verses 5 through 8 it reads, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. At verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. In verse 17, and behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou, and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. Thou shalt be male and female. Of the fowls after their kind, and of the cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. In chapter 7, verse 17, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed, and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went up on the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. In verse 21, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man, and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. After being in the ark a total of 377 days, the earth was finally dried up. In chapter 8, verse 15, and God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful, and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Here we see that Noah offered up to God an offering that most likely was of praise, thanksgiving, and for further fellowship with God. In verse 21, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." We know that the Lord will not destroy the earth again with water. However, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 through 8, it reads, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Here we find that God is going to destroy this world again with fire. The good news is, if you are one of the righteous of God, you will not be destroyed. This will be the last time the earth will ever be destroyed, and wickedness will be found no more forever and ever. Amen. In Genesis chapter 9 and verses 8 through 17 it reads, "And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is a token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant, which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Now because of the law of sin and death, the entire human race except righteous Noah and his family was destroyed. It was through Noah and his family that the earth was replenished. Approximately 10 generations later, through the seed of Shem, Noah's son, we learn about a man named Abram, whom God made an everlasting covenant with. This man Abram was the patriarch to which the promises of God were given. It is important to understand the promise that God gave unto Abraham, because it directly ties into the birth of Jesus Christ, and to whom the true seed of Abraham is today. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all of their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And it came to pass that Abram and Lot had too much cattle between them to dwell in the same land together." In Genesis chapter 13 and verse 11, "Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom." In verse 14, And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. It is important to understand that this is the major reason for Mideast conflict between the Palestinian and Israelis today. The United Nations and Palestine both want Israel to give up land that was promised to them by God to Abraham. Let's continue on reading to better understand what land was given unto Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 18, after these things the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. This is very important to take notice of. Abraham had faith in God, and God counted unto Abraham as righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Here we see that God told Abraham to kill and divide these animals, all but the birds. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom thou shalt serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. Here the Lord God prophesied to Abraham of the bondage that his seed would suffer in the land of Egypt. He also foretold the outcome to Abraham that they would come out with great substance. In which case we know that after the death angel killed the firstborn male of every family in Egypt, that God told the people of Israel to spoil the Egyptians, in which case they took everything of value from the Egyptians. And verse 15, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation thou shalt come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it went dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Here we see that God burned up the sacrifice of animals that were divided by Abraham. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Again, it is important to understand that the conflict the UN and the Palestine people are having with Israel surrounds this covenant that was given to them by God Almighty Himself. To completely understand the law of sin and death, one must understand the promise of the seed of Abraham. For this I will first give you the story of Agar, the handmaiden of Sarai, and the birth of Ishmael, and then of Sarai becoming Sarah, after her womb was opened, and the promise of the true seed of Isaac being born. In Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 16, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Here we find out, after Hagar conceived a child to Abraham, that she despised Sarai in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Now Sarah is blaming Abraham for this and tells the Lord to judge. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spoke unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai-Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So the Lord appeared unto Hagar as the angel of the Lord. He told her that she would name her son Ishmael, and that he would bless her seed as well. However, that her seed would be a wild man, fighting against every man and every man against him. This is the birth of the Arab nation of people. In verse 15, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Approximately 13 years later, the Lord appeared to Abram again. In chapter 17, verse 1, and when Abram was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto them, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house, or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh, for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her, yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. At this time, I would like to bring our attention to a man named Moses, who led the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. It was this man, Moses, that the Lord used to deliver the people the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law, or the Mosaic Covenant. The Mosaic Covenant was centered around God giving His law to Moses on Mount Sinai. This covenant was different than that of the Abrahamic Covenant. The covenant established with Moses was conditional in that the blessings that God promised were directly related to Israel's obedience to the Mosaic Law. If Israel is obedient, then God will bless them. But if they disobey, then God will punish them. To read in further detail about the blessings and the curses that God spoke unto the children of Israel, refer to Deuteronomy chapter 28. We will begin reading with the Lord God speaking to Moses, who would then speak with the people concerning keeping God's commandments, the Mosaic Law. In Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 through 8, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord God commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord hath spoken we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. The Lord continues to tell Moses the Ten Commandments, and tells him to tell the people of Israel. And then comes to pass after Moses relates the laws to the people, that they again state that they will keep all that the Lord has told unto them. It is at this time that the Lord tells Moses to come up unto the Lord. In Exodus chapter 24, verses 1 through 12 and 18, "And he said unto Moses, Come up unto the Lord, thou, and Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, All the words which the Lord hath said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings, and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood, and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant, and read in the audience of the people, and they said, All that the Lord has said we will do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were as the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. In verse 18, And Moses went into the midst of the cloud, and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. This was the first time Moses went on a 40-day and 40-night fast. In the meantime of Moses communing with God Almighty on the mount, the people of Israel became restless and decided they wanted an idol to worship, since they did not know what had become of Moses. Even though they had agreed to the covenant with God and heard the laws thereof, what a sad time for the Lord God Almighty after all that He has done to bring them out of bondage and be their king. For this part of the story, we'll begin reading in Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off thy golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, and after he had made it a molten calf, and they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation, and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early in the morrow, and offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for the people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be the gods, O Israel, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. The word stiff-necked means stubborn and obstinate, firmly or stubbornly adhering to one's own purpose. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have spoken of I will give unto your seed, and thou shalt inherit it forever. Here we see the law of sin and death coming into factor once again. However, Moses has asked the Lord to remember the promise he made to Abraham. At verse 14, And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard of the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh into the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made, and burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strode it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? Listen to the answer Aaron tells his brother Moses as to how it came that a calf was made. And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, then I cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf. Here Aaron has told Moses he cast gold into the fire, and out came this golden calf. Continuing in verse 25, And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who was on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to the gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell the people that day about 3,000 men. Now we see the law of sin and death put back into motion after Moses said, Who was on the Lord's side? And prophesied to the sons of Levi to kill the ungodly. At verse 29, For Moses had said, Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, You have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. The word atonement means to make amends for a wrong or an injury. Continuing in verse 31, And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people, because they made the calf which Aaron made. This brings us to Moses going on his second 40-day and 40-night fast. In Exodus chapter 35, in verse 27, And the Lord said unto Moses, Write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the 2 tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. What an amazing thing that the glory of God was shining upon the face of Moses after he came down off the mount. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh to him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off, until he came out, and he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again, until he went in to speak with him. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together, and said unto them, These are the words which the Lord hath commanded, that you should do them. This brings us to the end of Lesson 1 of the Law of Sin and Death. Next week we will continue with Lesson 2 on the Law of Sin and Death, and we will continue to show how the law of sin and death still remains today to all that are not born of the Spirit and following after Christ by keeping His commandments.